Welcome to Jesus Centric Life. I'm here with Pastor Josh. I'm Donna. And last week we talked about conversational faith. Today we're going to talk about the hurdles. And why don't you start out with just kind of bringing us up to speed with this whole conversational faith?
Yeah, and so conversational faith is just this idea that as I have conversations with people, I deepen my relationship with them, I'll get an opportunity to share Jesus, not a pushing him into the conversation, although there's places for that. This is a way that we kind of just grow in relationships with people and share Jesus.
And how is this different than, let's say, joining Jesus?
I think it runs parallel with joining Jesus. I think that's kind of how joining Jesus works. I think when I say conversational faith, this is kind of the approach that I have developed through the discipling of joining Jesus and others, but it's kind of, there's three big parts to it for me, and that's the approach that we, Greg Finke says that we do, Jesus does more through two people talking than two people ignoring each other, and so we just approach people. But then I think once we approach people, the key is that we don't try to get to Jesus. We just deepen the relationship. We just ask a little deeper questions. That's the conversational part of it. And then when we have those deepened conversations, I think Jesus just kind of comes up because I'm his witness. It's my witness. When I say my witness is not mine, it's his. And so I get to share what he's already given me. And I think when we have deep conversations, Jesus has a tendency to come up. And so my approach is we worry less about bringing Jesus up. We worry more about having the conversation or the relationship, the conversation, the deeper conversation, and let him come up.
Now, why do you believe hurdles exist before we dive into the five?
Yeah. So the Bible says that faith is foolishness to those who are perishing. And I think the foolishness is the hurdle that's keeping us from Jesus. And I think a good Bible story for this is actually Mark 2, and I preached on this, but this is Jesus healing the paralyzed man. And so this man's paralyzed. His friends decide we're going to take him to Jesus, which, by the way, is a hurdle already. Like, we got to carry this man that can't walk to Jesus.
Dead weight, right?
But they get there and there's the crowds of people, right? That they can't get to Jesus. So what are they going to do? Do they just leave?
No.
Right? And I think this is what a lot of us do. Like, we share Jesus once and then, well, it didn't work, so I'm done, right? And we'll say this. We'll even make me statements about it. Well, I'm not an evangelist, or I can't share my faith, or that just doesn't work when I do it. But what do the men do? They work over the hurdle. Have you ever tried to lift a grown man on top of a roof?
I can only imagine.
Have you ever tried to dig through a roof? Right? They have to get through these hurdles.
Right.
And so they did it. Why? Because they got him to Jesus. And what's crazy, this is the crazy part for me. When Jesus saw their faith refers to, it might refer to the paralyzed man and his friends, but it definitely refers to his friends. They, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, your sins are forgiven, right? That your faith in Jesus and your proclamation of him can save your friends. Not in the, I died for their sins, but rather in that I've connected them to Jesus.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful? And so what we have to do is the same thing the men did, is how do we help our friend get over those hurdles? And we do that through conversation.
One of my all-time favorite Bible stories. I love that story.
Yeah.
And I always think about, could you imagine if you were the first guy to bring up the idea? Like, hey, I heard Jesus was here. We should take Bill to go see Jesus. Like,
yeah.
And
we should dig through we should lift him up on the roof and dig him.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine the three other friends looking at you? Like, and it'd be you that'd come up with it.
Yeah.
You would be the one that'd come up with, we're not done yet, guys. We're digging through the roof.
We gotta do it.
But we gotta dig through the junk in people's life that causes them to push Jesus away. That's what I'm saying. There's a hurdle. There's something in their life that causes them to push, to keep Jesus at arm's length.
Now, you've really highlighted five of those. Mm-hmm. So what are the five that you see as key to
those? Yeah. And so this is a very unofficial list, unscientific list. It comes from a lot of experience with a lot of different people. It comes from some research, but just vague random research that I've read over time. But so when I say that, there's five different hurdles, and again, they're not totally complete. There might be other ones here, but these are the ones that I think are helpful for us to look at. Whether it's complete or not, I think it's helpful. And so the first is intellectual barriers. So is faith even reasonable, right? Mm-hmm. That's a big one for a lot of people. The second one is emotional barriers. If God is good, why did this happen? Like that would be an example of an emotional barrier. There's something in their life that just doesn't call to them emotionally or spiritually to allow them to believe in God. Church hurt. I think Christians have hurt people and people have left Jesus because of what Christians have done. If that's what Christians are like, I'm out. That kind of idea. Apathy. I don't need God. Life is fine without him. Why do I need him? And then the last one is other religions. I already have faith. I believe in something different. And so those are the big ones that I think we will come in contact with. And the one thing I want to say too before we go on is that I think there's a lot of people that probably are in multiple of these. They struggle with multiple. And so I don't think this is a, so this isn't a, you're Cupid and you shoot the right arrow and then somebody believes. This isn't that, but it's rather a way to have a better understanding and things to look at because there's patterns in people. So this isn't a diagnostic, but this is rather just a way to understand the people around you and to kind of seek to just seek to understand them because each person is unique and an individual and how these play off each other are interesting. But when you know a little bit more, I think you can speak the right things at the right time, a little better, not perfectly, but a little better.
So we're going to take a deep dive into these, but I'm looking at the time and we've got like 15, 20 minutes and these are big.
Yeah.
So we hope to get through them in this episode. If not, we'll take it one more episode, but I want to start with apathy. Why do you think so many people today simply don't care about faith or religion? And how can we spark that curiosity?
Yeah. So if you're in control of your life, if you got it all under control, either A, you're actually, I don't know, you're enough in control that you're there. Like, I think there's people that are like their life is going well. Their family's great. Their kids are great. Why spend an hour going to church? Why talk about somebody that I don't need? Jesus says that it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick, right? Like I think there's a sense that when we're aware of our brokenness, we realize our Savior. But if people, you know, either A, they're not aware of their brokenness, or B, they don't want to acknowledge it, or C, you know, it's minimal, they're not gonna need God. Or so in their mind. Again, in their mind. And so what I want to do is I'm not saying this is true, but I want you to understand how their mind's working. And I've had a conversation with people where it's like, yeah, that's great that Jesus died for me, but I don't really need anyone to die for me. Like there's just a straight up apathy. Life's fine the way that it is. Why do I need Jesus?
Why rock the boat?
Yeah, why rock the boat?
Because you're a Christian and you've gone through hard things. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I can't promise you a better life when you become a Christian. A better life in this world. I can promise you peace in Jesus. But so like why? They're coping. They're handling it. They have, I think sometimes it's, well, you have another God. You have the God of success and that's working well for you. You have the God of drugs. You have the God of alcohol. You have the, like your life is working. You have the God of entertainment. And so your life is working the way that it is. So why should I change it?
So in this approach, what is my response?
Yeah.
So I say, I'm talking to you and you say, no, I'm good. All good. Don't need it.
Yeah.
It's all good.
This one's very much a long game. I think, and this sounds weird and unchristian, but just stick around until something bad happens.
That's what you want me to do. Stick around.
Stick around your friend until something bad happens because something will. It's what happens in this world. Like, I think that's why, like last podcast we talked about this week in September that we're in where things are weird. Like there's people that are opening, they're open to new ideas. Why? Because their worldview can't explain what's going on. And so if you're apathetic about Jesus today, something might happen in your life, in society that makes you realize that your worldview is not quite complete. And that's when you get to speak into the hope that we have in our worldview.
Yeah. In this world, you will have problems. Yeah. I've overcome this world.
Yeah. I've noticed this pattern that most of the people I know that have come to faith in Jesus later on in life, they had two things that happened. A bad thing that happened in their life and a friend that was walking with them. And it was those two things. It was those two things put together. And so if somebody's apathetic now, they may not be in the future. Keep the relationship. Keep growing the relationship deeper. Keep praying for them. When you get a chance to speak Jesus, do. But wait for them to ask, because sooner or later, there's only one worldview that works, and that's Jesus. And sooner or later, their worldview's not going to make sense. There's going to be some flaw in it. And so that's when you get to speak Jesus.
And that's when they'll be asking the deeper questions, harder questions.
Yeah, and that's when, apologetics and the other things we're going to talk to come into play as well. Just wait.
When someone has intellectual hurdles like science, philosophy, or doubt, how do we engage without getting defensive or argumentative? Mm. This is where apologetics comes in.
So this is that intellectual barrier, right? Is faith even reasonable? And for some people, that's that. Why would I believe? My life might not be perfect, but why would I believe something that just doesn't logically make sense? And I think a good way, and I forget who I learned this from, but throw a pebble in their shoe. That's what I'd encourage you to do when it comes to intellectual. Throw a pebble in their shoe. So my kids, they have these sandals that I hate. They're like magnets. They like pull the pebbles in. And one time we were going to the Littleton Museum, and I swear every 5 feet, Cora stopped to take her shoes off, dump the pebbles out, and keep going. Because she couldn't walk with them in. They bothered her. And after a while, I just get so fed up that I just picked her up and carried her so that we would be because 5 feet style, it's so annoying. Here's another point that I think is important. I think sometimes we forget that most people think of themselves as intellectuals. I think the average person actually thinks that they have their worldview because they've thought about it. And a lot of times we see other people, we see ourselves as that way. I have my worldview because I've thought about it, but we forget that you probably have your worldview because you thought of it. You didn't stick your head in the sand. You're not a dumb person. You have your worldview because you thought of it. So what I want to do is I want to say, well, yeah, your worldview might have value, but if I can throw a pebble and make you think about that, what do? I'm making you think about Jesus. And so that's the value I think of apologetics, is that somebody might have this view, well, the Bible's not rational or reasonable. Well, if I throw a little pebble in that, if I know a little apologetics, if I know to kind of say, well, did you know this about the Bible? Did you know that there's way more variance in Shakespeare than the Bible, right? How do you know you read the real Shakespeare when you read it? You don't. Throw a little pebble. Throw a little pebble in their shoe. And so I think that's the value of learning apologetics. And we'll probably do some down the line on apologetics, because I think that's important.
Right.
But just for now, if you're having somebody that's hitting this little intellectual barrier, just go to YouTube and just find, you're a smart person, find what you find. A few people that I like to listen to, Lee Strobel's good, Josh McDowell's good. I've started listening to Mark Clark. Those are all people that
Sean
are good.
McDowell.
Sean, did I say Josh McDowell? You decide you like Josh McDowell Sean McDowell.
Sean, but, I like Sean, yes.
I think Josh McDowell has his stuff too, but yeah.
Yeah, Sean does a lot of work with the students at Biola, and he has some phenomenal, and they've really spoken into students. I know in the past you've talked a little bit about apologetics can sometimes be used maybe like a sword, like coming at people. I'm gonna put you in your place.
Yeah.
But I do like this whole pebble thought.
Yeah.
Apologetics says that too. It's just gently putting a pebble in there and saying, well, have you ever thought about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And if this doesn't resonate with you, you're like, I'm not into apologetics. Learn a little bit, but if it doesn't resonate with you, this might not be the primary avenue God has called you to share your faith. So if you love apologetics, dive into it, learn it really well, become an expert in it. But I think we all need to know a little bit of it.
Yeah. Very good. The next one is emotion. We know emotions can run deep in faith conversations.
Yeah.
How do we lovingly walk with someone whose emotional baggage makes it hard for them to trust God?
Yeah. And so let's just point out that sometimes the thing that keeps people to make faith challenging is people's emotions. So like I've talked about a lot, but I think Charles Darwin's actually a great example of this. Now, okay. I don't think his was all emotional. I think it was also intellect. I think he was a very intelligent person. A lot of people don't know that Charles Darwin, right, father of evolutionary theory, that he had kids, multiple kids that died at a young age. And so he was actually, when some of his kids died, he was actually being trained to be an Anglican clergyman, right? Did you know that?
Wow, I did not.
Yeah, and so like, and part of what he wrestled with is like, how can a good God allow bad things to happen?
Because he was trying to figure that out for himself.
Right, and so that is not a, for him, that wasn't just a analytical, that wasn't just a philosophy thing. That was a deep down hurt. And so I think the thing, why I bring this up, the reason why you have to be aware of this is they might be asking those questions, but is that an intellectual question or is that a deep, painful question? And how I deal with that is very different. And so if somebody's having this intellectual, they took philosophy in college and they used to believe in God and now they don't because it's rattled their whole mind because we can't prove that God exists. Like then you go after it with apologetics. But if they have a deep hurt that's attached to that, that's a very different thing. We want to listen as much as we do apologetics. We want to hear their story and why that hurts so much. And I think the God will work through them being seen and heard and loved by you. Not through the intellect that you bring.
Yeah, and I really want to stress there. I love how you said seen and heard by you, not the problem fixed.
Yeah.
We are not going to be able to sit there in this conversation and do a deep dive, and I'm going to bring healing to you.
Yeah.
Only God can bring that healing, and it's only after a lot of conversations and prayer for them.
Yeah.
So to really help them to be seen and heard.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so for instance, like if somebody asks you like, hey, I know you're a Christian, you've shared that with me, but I have a question for you. Why then do good things happen to bad things happen to good people? Or how can an all-loving God allow people to suffer? Right? Like, and when somebody asks you that question, if you don't know, you want to probably ask a follow-up question. You probably want to do something like, well, why are you asking that? Like, what's behind that? Because there's a chance that they learned that in university, right? Then let's do apologetics. Here's a video that I saw. Like, why don't you watch it and let's talk about it? Like, but if they say, well, when I was this age, this happened and it was just awful. That then you sit and listen and you mourn with them that happened. And you're probably not going to be able to explain God away with logic because they're wrestling with God in a way that we all wrestle with God. And so I think you share the promises of Jesus within that, but you mostly listen and seek to understand them and find out how they're doing with it today. Like, how are you coping with that? Like, how can I pray for you? Like, those type of things versus rush to prove or rush to defend Jesus. So like when it's emotional, I think we got to be careful with defending Jesus too quick. When it's analytical, I think that's when we can throw the rock in the shoe and say, well, there's another way to think about this. I might not be able to prove Jesus, but there's another way to think about this. But that's why these barriers are so important to think through, because you want to know where the person is as best as you can so that you can do the right next thing.
Right. And it's bottom line is understanding where the person's coming from. But I can't understand that until we've got a relationship.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Not so that's trying to be a one and done fix it.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. The next one, it gets a little tougher. Church hurt is a really challenging one. And it's real.
Yeah.
How can we acknowledge people's pain without dismissing it or excusing the church's failures?
Yeah. Yeah, if Christians are like this, I'm out, right? Like if Jesus, if your people are like this, I'm done with you, right? Like,
and the tough part, I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no.
But the tough part of church hurt is it can be a huge field.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got from abusive situations to, I just didn't like that you sang that song.
Yeah.
And when I complained, you didn't listen to me.
Yeah.
So I left.
Yeah.
And everything in between.
Yeah.
It's a big, big field.
Yeah. And I think the complexity of it is sometimes the church wasn't wrong and the person was. Like, we'll run into that too.
What do you mean?
Well, if I didn't like the song and you didn't respond to that, was the church wrong or were you too picky? Again, and that's a hard balance to walk, and I think all those are unique.
Right. This person says something that offends you. Well, did they say something that offends you, or were you not? Did you hear it correctly?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think the first, and I say that so that I can say this. I think the first posture of a church, like if someone's hurt by our church, my first thing to do is always apologize. Like, because we could have been better. If we would have known the situation better, if we would act like just apologize. So I think that's where I would go first. Like, I'm sorry that happened to you. As a part of the church, that grieves me, right? And I'm not saying that you were in that apology. I'm not saying that you were right, but I am acknowledging that your feelings are valid and they matter. And I think that's kind of that's a good first step, because what you're doing is you're refusing to judge if the church was right or the person was right, but you're saying, I feel for you in the situation you're in, and your feelings are real to you and they matter. And so I want to apologize on behalf of the church that you have those feelings.
And again, it's that seeing and hearing.
Yeah.
I see you and I hear you.
Yep.
I can't be you, so I don't necessarily feel that way.
Yeah.
But I really see that you do.
Yeah.
And I want to understand that more.
Yeah, yeah. And then what I think what you want to work for is you want to start to separate something. The Bible talks about the church is the bride of Christ. And there's all these images and stories, including the story of Hosea and the church going into prostitution and then Hosea running after her. Like, there's all these stories of marriage and how it's sometimes this broken thing. There's the stories of marriage in the Bible. And I think when we read those, what we begin to help people understand is kind of differentiate from Christ and his church. The church is always going to be a little messy. It's always going to be the wayward son, the lost bride. The church is always going to be a little messy. And so what we want to help them do is kind of begin to differentiate from Jesus and the church. And then what we want to do as well, and this again, slowly over time, this is lots and lots of conversations, but get them to see that there's value in the bride even when the bride isn't perfect. There's value in the people of God gathering together in their brokenness even when the church isn't perfect. And so it's the church is broken because it's full of broken people, but there's value in it because it's Christ's, and this is the messy part. And so I think you live a little bit in the gray, a little bit in the mess, a little bit in the just listening to them, the seeing and hearing, but then getting them to understand kind of those two concepts that are actually pretty clear in the Bible, that Christ and the bride are different, but that also that the bride is going to be always a little messy, but there's value in the bride. And that's the gray of the church. And I think over time you can help them see that.
Time.
Yeah, this one might take the longest.
Oh, really? Yeah, I can see that.
And especially when it's coupled with other things, like, because these are never, they're probably never just, they have one thing and that's it.
Right. My church hurt could trigger my emotion.
Could trigger my intellect.
Correct. Wow. The final one is different religions. Hmm. I'm going to let you just kind of take that one.
Yeah, so I had a friend in college who was Hindu, great friend. And actually, we connected because we had similar morals and similar ways that we approached life.
Not seminary, but OSU, right?
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, this is Oklahoma State. And great friend. And he's actually in my wedding even. And so great guy. But this one's actually the funnest, I think. Just ask questions, because you know what happens when you ask questions? They ask questions. Mm-hmm. He actually was over in Europe and he texted me, and he actually went to a Lutheran church over in Europe with some friends he met at college. Like, and he thought that was, but I think he had that connection with me because he knew I was a Lutheran. And, but yeah. And I don't know what God's going to do. Like, that's one of you lose friend touch with some of your college friends. That would be one of them for me. Yeah, but I think like just the asking questions allowed me to share Jesus. Mm. So I would ask things about his religion and what he believed and just be interested in, hey, I've heard about Hinduism. Like, you know, we learned about other religions in school, but hey, tell me what that looks like for you and your family.
Yeah.
Right. And it was neat. And it was,
sometimes I feel like we're afraid of those conversations though. You know, a long time ago, Pastor Hiller, encouraged us to have a neighborhood barbecue. Mm. So we did, we got the grill out in the front yard. We invited neighbors. Nobody shows up except our Mormon neighbors. Mm. And they bring their lawn chairs and here the four of us sit and we're like, and I finally said, so can you tell me what it's like to be Mormon?
Mm.
And they were like, can you tell us what it's like to be Lutheran?
Yeah.
And we had the most amazing conversation, but there was no conversion. And we are still friends and we still send each other messages, but it's been a cool journey. The first step is really understanding.
Yeah.
And understanding doesn't mean I agree.
Yeah.
It just means I'm hearing you.
Yeah, because... So again, we have to go back to what do we believe about Christianity? That it's actually real, that it's more than knowledge. And so when we share things that we believe, God says faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God. So what we have to believe is that when we're both sharing what we believe, that ours has more power.
Mm.
Right? Like that's what we believe.
Yep.
Like this is our belief, that our belief has more power because it comes with the Holy Spirit. Right? And so we should look forward to... and strive to have these type of conversations. And it's a blast to learn what other people believe.
It was.
And what their holidays are like, what their, you know, so those are things to ask. What are your holidays like? Like, where do you draw strength in your spiritual belief? Where is it confusing? Like, ask that. Like,
I asked an atheist that one time.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not asking this to offend you, but help me understand what Christmas is for you.
Mm.
Is it you put up a tree? Do you exchange gifts? Is it just about that?
Yeah.
And then they asked me, you know, what is it for you? And that was cool because now we got to mutually share.
Yeah, because this is, I think, the beauty in all of this in relational evangelism or this conversational faith is that when I ask you about you, the natural way that we operate as humans, when you're interested in me, I ask questions about you. Like that's standard, like that's human 101.
Right.
If I ask you a question, you ask me a question. And so by asking questions, we open up the possibility that they're going to ask us something. And when they ask us about our faith, ding, 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 I get to share Jesus, right? And faith comes from hearing and hearing through the word of God.
Do you feel like we could do a whole podcast on my next question, but do you feel like we as a society really struggle to ask questions and listen to the answer?
Yeah. Yeah, and this is something I'm working on. I think as much as I love joining Jesus, I think what's not in that book that I think needs to be developed more is how we approach having deep conversations with other human beings. Because I think Greg Finke's just naturally good at that. He says in the book, he's an extrovert, but like, I think we need to grow in our ability to have deeper conversations and deeper relationships with people. And I think there's a lot of, like I said, and maybe there's a podcast coming on that one, but there's a lot in that. But yeah, I think in general, we need to, this is a growing thing that you need to do. And it's not going to be natural or easy or feel, I'm not sure it's even going to feel safe when you start doing that because it's so out of a lot of our norms to ask deeper questions that I think, but it's a bold adventure that you get to go on with Jesus.
Yeah, I am. When we would go on mission trips, I always saw the driving as the best part. I loved the driving because I had a student that was in the passenger seat and my goal was to find out as much as I could about them. And I don't know if you remember when Emma was here, she brought that up, you know, just the hours of driving. And that was the time I got to do a deep dive. But the way you ask questions, how you ask questions, why you ask the question that you do is really important because a student could also feel like I was just bulleting questions at them.
Correct.
Like one after the next and they're like yes, no answers. Well, that's not going to give me that insight. But how do I start lighter and start to go deeper so that I can have that insight and learn that one more thing about them that I didn't know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think little things you can do that I've done is kind of have a few questions in the back of your mind that you might ask to somebody. Like even asking the difference from how are you doing today? Like to ask like, what's something you liked about your day today?
Oh, that's good. Right. Because so the one I would just answer good.
Yeah. But the things that kind of put people off guard and give them permission to, if they want, to say a little more. Like, what's one thing, you know, if you have this relationship, what's the one thing you struggled with today? Or what's one thing that, you know, is going well in your family? To have these questions. And I need to grow in question asking. Like, it's one of my skills I'm developing. But I think, like, to kind of prep yourself with these questions that you might try out asking. And if it doesn't work, you know, it didn't work.
No
you tried
harm,
it.
No foul.
You tried.
Right.
Like, I think we got to be okay with failing sometimes in relationships, because by failure, we do better next time. Right. Like Albert Einstein says, I didn't fail. I didn't fail 1,000 times. I found 1,000 things that didn't work. Yeah. Right. Like, so that's, yeah.
So I think we are. That's going to be the next podcast, is asking questions, how to do that, and maybe give some practical experiences of how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Let's do that.
It?
We just decided our next podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. So
we didn't
sure.
decide that before we started recording, by the way.
No. So here you are. Make sure you listen to the next podcast. And thank you so much, Pastor. Thanks for helping us to think about this at a deeper level and to really understand those hurdles. I think God's going to really use this to extend our conversations that we're having with people.
Yeah.
And we hope that you have a great day, and thanks for listening.